B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Mike Missinelli Show on a Tuesday. We were off yesterday. We had a little Flyers-Sixer game action. And, of course, the Sixers were very important yesterday. And there are some observations I need to make here, beyond the obvious. And the obvious is the people that want to trade Ben Simmons, the people that want to move him to four. If you watched the game last night, you realize what a dope you are. At least I hope you realize that. But it goes beyond that, because we're talking about how the Sixers can actually win the East. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about. So I'm looking at the game yesterday, and I'm going, they can win the East if the guy plays like that 4 out of 5 games. So we're talking about getting production from what they have now that has been lacking in other games that make them lose on the road. If Ben Simmons is attacking like that every game and he can go for 30 without shooting the jump shot, I'm okay without the jump shot. It's my belief that to get to 25 to 30, he needs the jump shot because maybe he's not going to play like that every game. But that said, and you saw the same thing I did, if he plays like that every game and attacks like that every game, then that's the production that they lack. Now, for some reason, the Nets don't play him like the better teams play him. The better teams that have better defensive players, the better strategies, know how to deal with him, where they give him cause for pause and he doesn't attack constantly. So you got to add that to the equation. But they can win if he plays like that. If they can play defense like they played yesterday, lights out, aggressive, energetic defense in the fourth quarter especially. And then there's the Embiid factor. When he comes back, how they can blend the whole thing. So, yesterday, it's silly now, right? Isn't it silly that like we actually, not me, but some people were actually saying, including Jalen Rose, that you need to trade Ben Simmons for D'Angelo Russell. Seriously. Is D'Angelo Russell ever going to have a game like that ever in his life? I mean, you're talking about being dominant on both ends of the floor. A gazelle at 6'10", faster than anybody on the floor, doing what he did at will. Okay? That's the type of player he is. That's why he is the most frustrating player to me that I've ever seen in Philadelphia. Because I see games like that and I go, he's got to take it upon himself to give them that almost every night. And then you don't worry about what the Sixers lack. So, there it is. I've added another element to how the Sixers can win. Their defense, obviously, is going to have to carry him. They're going to have to add another player. But if they don't, Ben has to play like that every night. And yes, you can convince me that the Sixers win the East. Is that pretty succinct, Tyrone?
Yeah, I think that it is. And that's fair. Everything you said is fair about that. Ben, he would have to play like that 4 out of 7 times in a series against the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to have 4 of those games in a 7-game series. And then they would win those 4, especially with Embiid. But then the question is, you asked 2 important questions then. And I don't want these people to turtle up. I don't want them to. That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
You see, last week, no matter what you talked about, you're talking about your 2020 prediction, it always led back to then this, then that. He goes out and has a phenomenal game. A game we've never seen in the city of Philadelphia. A game like that.
No, it was a historic production game.
Yes. We see that kind of game. If you wanted to trade him, see, so now, people that wanted to trade him last week, does this change their minds? I wonder. And then to your further point, if this is in him, and we know that it's in him, at what point do you think we start seeing it? Even, we've only seen one, maybe two, three times this season out of 40-some games. When do we start seeing that once a week, twice a week? Like, when does the switch, is this the game? Do we see it again, Toronto? What do you think, Mike? Like, can he start doing this more regularly?
Well, I don't know if he can. All I can tell you is what needs to be done.
I guess you're
right. I can't get inside the kid's head or body. So I don't know. And so the caveat here is, and just to be fair, to play both sides, because that's what I usually do, it's one game against the Nets. It's also a game without Embiid. That's not going to be part of the equation if they're trying to win the East. It's going to be against better competition, and it's going to be with Embiid. And those better teams seem to find a way to curtail that constant aggressiveness that he had from minute one to minute 48. So I don't know. All I know is what you saw. And for the people that you take too much liberty with games where he's not playing that way, and you're forgetting about the part that he can play that way. So when you say silly stuff like he should be moved to the four, or he should be traded for D'Angelo Russell, it's just absurd and ridiculous. What we have to hope for is what we saw the other night. And it's up to him. He's the only guy that can control that. And I don't know what the guy's in the guy's head, because he seems to be a bot to me.
I do think that the scrutiny, I know he says he's not aware of it, I do think that played a role in why he came out so strong. I have to think maybe that.
Because it was like the last day for All-Star voting. That could be a reason, right? He wanted to leave a lasting impression.
Yeah, he's going to get in.
Because that's what he does.
He's going to get in now.
Well, maybe that. I don't know what fueled it. All I know was how the Sixers can win the East. I was under the impression he was not going to play like that every game. And he still might not. In which case, they need another significant player to be added to this roster. If he's going to play like that every game, that makes up for the fact that they won't get offensive production off the bench on a regular basis, but they won't need it because he's dominating. And the other thing is the Embiid equation. So there are still questions, but we have to settle them one at a time. You see, Nate, do you not see why I love this guy as a player? Because when he's rolling like that, there's nobody in the NBA who can play that way except for one dude who might be at the top of the heap in the league now, and that's Giannis. Oh, are we still fooling each other? It's like, who else has that kind of size, speed, and ability on a basketball floor in the NBA except one dude?
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to say it. I believe that it's in him to start doing that regularly. And I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I hope it happens this year. And I agree with you that it'll be about Embiid and Simmons getting them wherever they have to go. Those stars have to be great. Mm-hmm. And if they can be great, nobody can touch them if they actually can be that great. I even think the West would struggle. If that Simmons showed up and the best Embiid showed up at the same time, I even think the teams in the West would have a tough time beating them. I'm dead serious. If that could happen 4 out of 7 times in a series, if that Simmons could show up.
Yeah, I'm ready to go there. But I hear what you're saying. That's an overly optimistic spin on that.
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm saying we've seen it a couple times. I'm saying that if you actually got them two, both at their best, I don't know if anybody could stop them because of the dynamics they would have with the size. I don't think anybody could defend them, and they can definitely defend everybody else. But then my other point, though, is if he's going to get to being this at some point, let's say it's next year, he's doing it with my team. I am not trading that guy, and he become that guy last night all the time for the Warriors. It's not going to happen. No. It's happening here or it's not happening. I'm not trading him to another team and then he becomes the guy in someone else's uniform. I'm not doing it.
All right. I think we all need to come to that conclusion. Even the biggest haters that we've heard from about this guy, you had to change your perspective a little bit. Now, Brett Brown said something that I want to challenge here. Because now he's starting to back off. And now he's going to throw it on everybody else. He says, I think Ben Simmons' judgment world is bizarre to me and oftentimes amazingly unfair and a little bit inaccurate. It's not unfair and a little bit inaccurate. It's totally holistic, the judgment we make on him. Because we haven't seen that kind of game repeatedly. Come on, Brett. It's totally fair for us to make the judgments. He goes, what I do as the coach is you judge it holistically about his defense and how he created for others, and I view him in that light. No, you don't. Because you're the one that said you want to see 1 3-point shot a game that opens up everything else for him. You're the one that came out and said, I failed in getting him to shoot a jump shot. So don't throw it back on us. I resent that. Come on, man. All right, quickly on football. The two best teams are playing for the Super Bowl. That's a good thing. Easily, the two best teams are playing for the Super Bowl. And now, I got to tell you right now, that is a 49ers line in the Super Bowl. And I may bet that today. -1. Now, I know the Kansas City Chiefs have this old world offense, but that -1 is telling me something. That the 49ers, in this underdog role, have a chance to clip Andy Reid that Super Bowl, even though they have the all-world quarterback and such tremendous weapons. That 49ers team is real, and it's a team that doesn't need the quarterback, looks like, to make plays to win. Now, maybe in the Super Bowl, we'll find out that the quarterback has to make some plays to win. But they play well enough without that quarterback having to make it. That guy's a game manager, is what he is. He hit a couple passes early, but for the most part, he didn't need to make any plays at all. That team's a good team. -1 is a slim line.
It is.
And I don't have any skin in it. I'm not rooting against Andy Reid, and I don't think that he needs to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to do anything for my life if he wins a Super Bowl. Some people think it's going to get him in the Hall of Fame, but he needs a Super Bowl. Maybe he's already in the Hall. I don't care about Andy Reid. Why does he always have to make a fat joke? Yeah, when he was here, that was like his go-to move.
Yeah.
The fat joke. He had to make a fat joke. And then yesterday he goes, well, first thing I'm doing is you get a cheeseburger. What's that about?
He's the football's Chris Farley.
I guess.
Chris Farley would always take his shirt off in a skit or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's Andy Reid. Some guys, that's all they have.
All right, well.
Guys with the double gun, sometimes you only got one move.
It just feels bizarre to me to have to go there all the time, constantly.
Unless he was just telling the truth.
Of his fatness. Because you don't need him to do that. Come on, we're in a different world now. Right?
Yeah.
We're not going to fat shame him.
We shouldn't.
No. All right, anyway. 610-632-0975. You tell me what you saw with the Ben Simmons thing. And it's a fair question. Can it continue? And is that dependent on Ben playing that way for the Sixers to actually rise to the heights that I think they should rise to? It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's a Tuesday, and we're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
How about that, Ben, a friend of station? The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin, attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, Natalie's still a little under the weather. Tyler Zuli in for Nat. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're wondering what to give to family this new year, give them their weekends back with a Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check it out in person. The showroom, Paul B. Moyer's in Doylestown, or you can see it online at paulbmoyer.com. Tyler.
Thank you, Mike. So our question today is, will we see this version of Ben Simmons more often going forward? 235 votes so far. Two-thirds of the people say yes, it's the start of a trend. One-third, 33%, say nope, just a one-game fluke.
All right, so since for the commercial, like 5 minutes, right? I'm going to read you the following emails that I've got.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Last night can't slash won't happen with Embiid. Ben's game last night cannot coexist with a successful Embiid. They both require the same space slash place on the floor. Regardless of where the ball starts from, they both need an open paint. Ultimately, they will not work together. All right, that's one. Here comes another. Good afternoon. I totally disagree with your assessment that they can win the East. When Embiid comes back, he can't slash won't play that way. Simmons scored all of his points in the paint. Horford was on the perimeter all day. I'm still not sold that Simmons will be what he was yesterday going forward. And remember, it was also the Nets. One more. Embiid clogs paint for Ben. I go fast and trade Joel for Booker. And finally, I haven't got a positive one yet. Finally. People are ignorant when it comes to Ben Simmons. It should be on the table to trade him if it makes sense in the return. The bottom line is all that matters is postseason, and when we know when the playoffs come, he is a liability because he is so limited in the half-court game. Yeah, he is a liability in the half-court game. But if he attacks like he attacked yesterday, people will make way.
Yes.
People will make way if he's attacking.
And then the other part is the second-best offensive player to Ben was Horford. There's not a single thing Horford did last night that Embiid can't do. Embiid can shoot the ball. Embiid can shoot the foul line extension jumper. He can set a pick for a guy. No, I'm not buying that at all.
But see, they see Embiid as the guy that has to be anchored and nailed in the post.
But we already know that's not true.
Yesterday apparently had no influence on the Sixer fan base, and it comes to these two guys. Dude, listen, it's a question that I raised in the opening. Can they do it with Embiid on the floor? It's a legitimate question. Also, it's a legitimate question. It's one game against the Nets. It was also the last day for All-Star. It was also on national TV. Maybe Ben Simmons took all that in consideration and said, I got to show something. And maybe he won't do that every game. I'm just saying what needs to be done.
Right, and the thing I discount, though, is this notion that it can't happen with Embiid because Embiid is Shaq. He's not Shaq. He doesn't have to always be down there, and I believe that he's unselfish enough to where if Ben really had it cooking the way he had it cooking, Embiid better get the hell out of the way and stay at the three-point line. This guy's got it cooking. Get out of the way.
Even if Embiid is down low, he certainly can make way.
Yes.
If Ben's attacking. Right. It's not like it's the statue of David there, you know?
Right.
With his penis out, you know?
Yes. You put it like that.
Right. Yeah. It's not like he can't move like the statue of David. It's right there. He's never going to move.
Right. What I think is a lot of people there, they're one, protecting themselves, as you mentioned many times, and two of them, they're still looking at basketball in this way that it's not played anymore. You don't have to have every single play a player do the same exact thing. It's not like back in the day where, okay, Karl Malone's going to be on the left block, he's going to go over his left shoulder, rinse and repeat over and over, or pick and roll with Stockton every single time. The game has changed. You can do multiple different things. There's times where Embiid will be on the bench and they stagger the minutes. There's a lot of stuff that can happen hypothetically that we'll have to wait and see to make that possible for Simmons and Embiid to flourish. And they've won 50 games 2 years in a row and on pace to do it for a third year in a row. But I'm supposed to just think those guys stick together.
It's amazing to me that the conclusion that came out of that game yesterday was not that, because this was my conclusion. Oh my. That's the player he is. There's only one other dude in the league that can do that. This guy played for the Sixers? That's amazing. Correct. That's not the conclusion that people have. It's like, well, he's not going to do this. He's not going to do this. Good Lord. That's a special talent you witnessed yesterday.
Even Booney, and you know how he's felt. He's like, this is what I wanted. He's happy.
Well,
like,
course.
He's normal.
To be happy, you go, oh, my God. Who else in the league that can do that? All right. I know it's imperfect, folks, but God. That's good to Nate in North Philly. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nate.
Mikey Miss.
What's up, Nate?
I'm tired of this, man. I understand Ben Simmons does what he do. I know he can do what he did last night. It's just when the playoffs come, half-court game, he has to at least shoot the jump shot. At least Eric Snow tried the jump shot. That's what I keep telling him about. He's not going to get 6 or 7 dunks in the playoffs. You know what I mean? If I was the other team, why don't you hack a Shaq every once in a while? They let them get in wide open dunks to the left. I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a Philadelphia fan. I done broke TVs with Donovan McNabb. My family all laugh at me. I'm a diehard Philadelphia sports fan.
Made 10 free throws yesterday, bro.
I understand that. Yesterday. Go look at the other games.
He's shooting 57. He needs to get that up. There's no question. What you're saying is not wrong. But when he dominates like that, it's like, come on, man.
Come on.
I know it's the Nets. I hear you in the playoffs.
12 months from now, it's going to be a skinny kid from Maryland there. 12 months from now.
You're right. If he can dominate that way in the playoffs, yes. If you don't think he can, maybe he can. We'll get to that, won't we? Guess what? If he doesn't dominate like they need him to dominate, they're not going to win the East. And we're going to have a lot of conversation about it.
I'm not a betting guy, but I got my brother. He do his little.
But why today? Why today? He do. Can you give it up for one day? After you saw such a breathtaking performance yesterday.
I understand that. I'm gonna give it up for one day. Congratulations, Ben. My bet the next two games.
Were you that Nate? Were you now wowed at that performance?
No.
You were not wowed. What are you kidding me? You're a pure maple syrup hater. That's what you are.
Mikey, I'm gonna make some pancakes now that you said that.
Yeah.
That's no problem.
You're a thick molasses hater.
All right, so what if they start hacking shacking him? He shoots 58% in the line, you just said it.
Suppose he doesn't shoot 58. The hack the shack goes away with Sushi Make a Couple.
All right, so you're going to wait for that? He's not going to never get better because he doesn't work on his game.
Nate, do you want him or not? Do you want him or not?
I want him. I want him to make the
I know. I get it, Nate. I know exactly what you want from him. I want the same thing. Today, I'm not going to be carping about the lack of a jump shot. Because the lack of a jump shot can be overcome by the fact that he dominated going to the basket every single time he had the ball. Could have scored 40 in that game. Should have scored 40 in that game. Now, I understand the playoffs could be different. They also could not be. If he's got the mindset to score, because what he does, his mindset trips him up. His mindset stops him. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Nice to see Simmons playing 4 quarters. You know, I think he finally realized that they need him the whole time. He can't just distribute in the 4th quarter. But I wanted to comment on Tyrone Sixers Outsiders. Good show last night. Really enjoyed it. But my question, do you think if Mike Scott and Corky can shoot threes like they did yesterday, how many games do you think they'd have to do that before they might be trade bait?
I don't know. I think they're trade bait now. I don't know if they're going to enlighten anybody. They are what they are, sort of. You want to trade Corky after all this progression that the man from Turkey has made?
Well, I don't... He's not... You know, he's fine if he gets an open shot, but, you know, you got to be able to... I mean, we need somebody, I think, you know, like J.J. Redick or Bellinelli. I mean, those guys would throw up threes falling sideways and they'd go in.
Mm-hmm.
Corky's got to get his feet together to shoot.
Well, listen, I listen to Al Abdel-Nabi every game. He's like Jerry West to Allah. I mean, he shoots it. He's defending now. He's putting the ball on the floor. That's all I hear every broadcast.
Well, you know, Allah's a good guy, you know.
He is a good guy.
Got to stop that bobblehead-looking thing that he does all the time, but...
what bobblehead-looking thing? Now, he loves himself. What? He loves himself from some quirk muscle. I don't know whether he's doing that to boost the kid's confidence, or he actually sees that in, because I don't see that.
When I play with the Ben.
Yeah, he plays with the Ben, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, for instance, people look, he made a clutch three at the end, right? He was also 3 for 11 in the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he just happened to hit one at crunch time.
He did. He hit a big shot, and that's all people remember with this guy. And that's good, man. Knock yourself out. If that's all you want to remember about the kid, good. I don't think it's good enough off the bench. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. You can't rely on him. I mean, I think if you're... You know, if you're in crunch time,
yeah, I guess he's got a little bit of value, Korkmaz. You know, I can't say he doesn't have value. He can make a 3-point shot. People around the league will see that he can actually make a 3-point shot at times. Scott's got some value as a rugged guy coming off the bench. But Furkan doesn't make anything, does he?
No, he doesn't make anything. The minimum.
Yeah, so
Mike Scott, unfortunately, and he had his best game in a while because he was really engaged. He hadn't been engaged. Mm-hmm. He'd been sleepwalking for weeks.
Yeah.
He was really engaged in that game, and when they put Ben at the 5 for that stretch with Raul, he was playing the 4, and he was doing that rugged type stuff that he hadn't been doing. So it was a good night for the Hive. But unfortunately, because of what he makes, if you're getting anything back, you kind of have to include his salary, unfortunately. You really don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like if you're getting Derrick Rose and he makes like 7.5, you kind of have to include Mike Scott's salary, even if you don't want to part with him to make the salaries match.
I can't.
You're in a jam.
Can't believe he dusted off your boy that game last night.
Jonah Bolden.
Oh my God, where does that come from?
It's because of
that dude is an attic knickknack.
It was because
get the feather duster out first.
It was because
all right, we good? Send him in.
It was a double whammy of no Pell because they're trying to wait till the trade deadline to sign him. And then Horford got in foul trouble.
Yes.
That's why Horford only played like, so I now they're in a jam.
Jonah played his ass off, didn't he, Jonah?
Oh.
He's got zeros all the way across the board. He had one rebound in 9 minutes. He actually took a 3-point shot. I'm going, dude, 4 fouls he piled in that 9 minutes.
4 fouls. He put him off a off ball. That was a tough spot because he hasn't played all year. And then all of a sudden you throw him into the game. Like, he was not prepared for what was going on yesterday at all.
What are those knickknacks that people collect, the most famous ones, like older ladies collect?
Oh, what are you talking about, like the gnome figurines or something? What are you?
They're figurines, but there's like a special, most popular knickknack.
Oh, I don't know.
People collect them.
You talking about the ones that like stack inside each other?
No, they're the nesting dolls. It's like a China, I can't remember what it is, but people collect them.
Well, yes, that was him coming out of the cabinet, and then you put him right in the center of the dining room table.
This dude was wrapped in 1954 newspaper before they got him out.
You put him right there. We all was like, wait, who is that? Is that vegan Jonah Bolden?
Again,
he was trending number one internationally because he's got a lot of attention in Australia.
Oh.
Everybody was shocked. Hey, it's Jonah Bolden.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. Nate, City Line Avenue. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nate.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Nate?
This is about the third time I've been calling you. Most of the time I sit here and listen to the show and listen to all these people complaining all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But my line is this here. I'm with Tyrone. You don't trade this man for nothing in the world. If you look at last night, 34, 12, 12, and 5, the man is running the floor. He's shooting the basketball good. He's playing good, running the floor, and he's got assists, and he gets steals. But I saw a statistic last night that some people didn't really pay attention to.
Yeah, what's that?
Ben Simmons leads the league in assisting to people who shoot 3-point plays. He leads the league. If they're doing it and he's assisting it, that should mean something. Ben Simmons is a great player.
Well, yeah, because you got to guard him, so he leaves open spots on the floor.
Yeah, but the thing about it, he's playing good. And, you know, this city, so many people in this city, first thing they want to do, they want to get rid of Ben Simmons. They want to get rid of Kaufman. They got to stop that. Let this guy play. He came out of school early. You know, you got to look at the fact that they still got 2 years worth of that college stuff into them. Once they get out of, but Ben Simmons is going to come around. I don't care what
you see. I don't go that easy on him. I'll be honest with you, because I demand the way he played yesterday. There's no reason for him not to play the way he played yesterday. Attack, attack, attack. There's no reason for him to defer in the fourth quarter. None.
No, but the thing about it, Mike, he's going to get there.
I don't have time. He's one of the two great players. They got to win the East. I don't care, but he's going to get there. He's got to do it right now.
Come on,
Nate.
I'm all behind him. I'm not never going to give up on him. I never will give up on him. I don't care what nobody said. I will not give up on him.
I'm not giving up on him either, but that doesn't mean you can't demand more from the kid.
It can't happen every night, Mike.
Yes, it can. He's got that kind of talent where it could happen every night. Does it happen for Giannis every night?
But he'll get there. He'll get there.
I can't wait, Nate. I can't be waiting anymore. I want to win the East.
I still think you got a decent shot at it.
Well, if he plays that way, you do. If not, you know. I was talking about the Hummels is what I'm talking about.
Oh, the Hummels.
The Hummels. People collect Hummels.
I don't know.
You know what the Hummels are?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
it's a famous knickknack. People collect them and put them in their curios.
What's
they've
a curio?
Collecting them for you. A curio is a big...
Like a china cabinet?
Yeah, but it's glass, so you can see what's in there.
Yo, in my family, those are all called china cabinets, even if they're glass, you can see through.
My mother wasn't a knickknack collector, but I know it's usually a... I think it's a white thing.
It could be.
I think the Hummel is pretty much a white thing. You know, it's like little cherub boys and stuff.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, my grandma just collected a lot of salt and pepper shakers from around the world. Yeah, because my grandfather was in the Army. So she got them from Panama and Germany.
All right, well, that's cool.
All over the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, Hummels. That's what they collect. That's got to be like the number one collectible. They still sell them.
Check them out. Google it.
Check them out. Maybe you want to start a Hummel collection. How about if you invent the black Hummel?
Yeah, beautiful. Like the Jackie Robinson of Hummel?
Exactly. Come out with the black Hummel, like the Norman Rockwell type of Hummel, but black Hummel.
Yeah. Yeah, we can work on that.
That's a great idea, man.
Find ceramics.
A little ceramic action.
Yeah.
The Tyrone Ceramic Company.
Yeah, put a kiln in the basement. Start punting them out of small business to start and go from there.
Exactly. Yeah. And now you got the name.
Yeah.
People gravitate toward it.
Yeah,
it'd
be nice, yeah.
All right, 610-632-0975. All right, whose mother collected Hummels? I want to hear from you. How many Hummels does your mother have? Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
Missinelli Show on
97.5
The Fanatic.
Well, how many of us have looked at our finances and thought, how can we make this much and still have so much debt? Creeps up on us. Unexpected home and car repairs, medical bills, credit card debt. Here's a really smart strategy to help you get on top of your finances. Get a fixed rate personal loan at bestegg.com. The rates are great, and now is the right time to do it. Use your Best Egg personal loan to pay off that stack of bills and credit cards with the crazy high interest rates that can destroy your credit. Why not pay everything off and have one easy, low monthly payment? And then you bank what you save each month and use it for that long overdue vacation. Consumers rated Best Egg 4.8 out of 5 stars on Consumer Affairs for their super easy online loan app. Takes about a minute with no impact to your credit score. And upon approval, funds can be deposited in as little as one business day. Get your bills under control. Bank what you save and take control of your finances with a loan from BestEgg.com. Visit BestEgg.com/fanatic. That's BestEgg.com/fanatic. BestEgg.com/fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh man, I'm chock full of Hummel information now. Did some research on the Hummel.
How's it work?
The Hummel debuted at the 1935 trade fair in Leipzig, Germany by Gobel Hummel. And they were like a little boy, a little girl. And like in various, they had a little umbrella. They were going to do the detail in the ceramic Hummels.
All right.
So, Nazi control of Europe comes around, and Nazi forces limited and ultimately ceased Hummel production. So, following the end of World War II, this Hummel dies, but they came to America because it became popular among American troops stationed in Europe, and they brought it back to the United States.
Oh.
So that's how they got here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just looking at some prices in these, Tyrone.
Well, how much are they?
Well, like, for instance, the Adventure-Bound Hummel series, where the little children are in adventures.
Yeah.
Like, picture, like, the little boy sitting in an apple tree. The little boy sitting in an apple tree, estimated value $8,000 to $12,000.
$8,000 to $12,000.
And if you got a pair, $10,000 to $15,000. You had the boy and the girl.
Oh man! So you might see a Hummel on like an antique roadshow type.
Exactly.
Show.
So this is why these people have been collecting Hummels for years. It goes into family.
You pass those down.
Pass them on.
Oh. Yeah, black Hummels coming soon. Top of 2021.
Well, you can start them now. Yeah. By the year 2030, you might, you know.
Might have something. Oh, yeah, they'll be out. They'll be all over. They'll start these with Philadelphia.
They'll be doing stories on you. Yeah, you get the white beard going.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyrone Johnson, creator of the black Hummel.
Yeah, why'd you walk away from the radio thing? Had something better going on. Black Hummels.
Tyrone passed away, but his family is going to continue your legacy.
Yeah.
His son.
It'd be nice.
Bronson Johnson.
Bronson Johnson.
Bronson Johnson has continued the Black Hummel legacy.
There you go. That's good news.
It's good. Joey in North Philly. Joey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Yes.
What's up, Joe?
Last night just showed me that if Ben Simmons put his head to it, he can be large and in charge when he wants to.
Of course. You saw it, right? Did you want to train for D'Angelo Russell last night? Did that thought cross your mind?
No. D'Angelo Russell will stay where he is.
Isn't that silly now? When you see a game like that, you go, well, really, we were advocating him, training him for D'Angelo Russell? Seriously, come on.
There's no way I would.
All right, Joey. What else you got, brother?
Well, that's about it.
All right, bud. Thanks for checking in. Let's go, Jim, in Atlantic City. Jim.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
A quick Hummel story. My wife's got about $100.
No, there you go. You got money.
When we first got married, I had a whole cabinet full of my NASCAR race car collectibles.
Oh, yeah.
I took them all out. Okay, I had the cars in boxes. She threw them in a crate, and it became the Hummel cabinet. She had them from her grandmother and everything else. Like she said, she goes, these are worth more than your little race cars.
Well, guess what?
My race cars are in a crate, and you know the other stuff is out.
You're sitting on a nest egg, brother.
And you know, they're creepy looking. I would sell them in a minute if I could.
They are creepy looking, especially if they're in a curio peering out at you.
It's like that leprechaun movie. It's a horror thing.
Dude, don't mock them.
I know.
Just look at him. There's dollar signs in your curio.
I know. I got to stay with her until maybe we can sell him one.
There you go.
My point on the Sixers. I still think before the trade deadline, if they go after a free agent shooter, say you know Jamal Crawford, Marcus Morris, or something like that. Jimmy Lyman was saying yesterday, he goes, he would consider trading making a trade and putting Matisse Thybulle in for a trade. I wouldn't trade Thybulle at this point, would you?
He didn't say that, Tyrone? What did Jimmy say about
Thybulle? No, he's not including Thybulle in the trade.
He's not including him.
But he would have to be for a star.
Right, okay. You know, I still think I think he was a big part of the game last night.
Yeah, see, including him, I mean, he doesn't make any money either. So it's not like you're giving away a non-salary potential player that's not going to really add the value to a trade for a significant player anyway. So you might as well keep him.
Yeah, no, I like his defensive presence and everything else. But, you know, I think if they can get a shooter before even Embiid comes back, and, you know, they can move up in the standings at least.
Trade deadline is what, February 6th? February 6th, coming up.
Right. So, all right, that was the only point.
All right, man. Yeah, no, Thybulle had made some great defensive plays in that game yesterday.
He's the best defensive rookie.
Pretty good.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's got really good instincts defensively. It's hard to teach good instincts on defense.
Yeah, and those fast hands and stuff. He just does stuff that's natural.
Yep. Josh in Conshohocken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Tyrone. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Josh?
Not much. Point about Ben Simmons, I just feel like this is where Philadelphia fandom just kind of, you know, rubs me the wrong way, because it's just like we harp on the one thing he doesn't do when he does 6-7 other things on the court at all times that are really good. And, you know, people were constantly wanting to trade him for Devin Booker and different people. But what they fail to realize is if you take him off the court and you input Devin Booker, yeah, we will be able to score a little bit more, but our defense is going to be terrible.
So, it's not going to be terrible. You still have decent defenders around on the floor.
Who can Devin Booker stick?
Well, he's not a great defensive player. It's not like he's a stiff, though. I mean, but you have other defensive players on the floor at the same time. You would have Devin Booker.
Do you think? But
let me ask you this: Has their stellar defense been that good to create a team that's in the upper echelon of the East so far?
I mean, it's kept us in a lot of games.
Yeah, they're still in the sixth spot, bro. They can't win on the road. How good's the defense been? It's been good. I mean, they're a good defensive team. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's through the roof. The record would be better if it was through the roof.
Yeah, but there's very few teams in the league that play good defense these days. I just think giving up that asset for a couple more points per game or maybe...
Nobody's going to give up Ben Simmons. All right? It's not going to happen. But it's not like we can ignore. Like, we can't... See, Brett Brown tried to do this, and this is why I blanch at this. Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. He needs to do more. He's a star caliber player. He can't not engage in the third and fourth quarters. That's when not star players don't do that. They attack like he did yesterday.
Yeah, I
can't just ignore the fact that he doesn't attack because he does five other things.
That's just a great point. Final point I just want to say, I just want to see him get his free throw percentage up, you know? Then maybe he'll have the confidence to shoot the shot, but 57%.
I mean, this for you. His arc stinks when he shoots the free throw. His arc is bad. Listen, forget the way he shoots it. It comes out of his fingers, okay. His arc, he's got to get that ball up 2 feet. He's got to get more of a parabola. He's got more of a line drive, which is not going to rattle in.
Right.
He's 6'10". Right, he should be able to get it up higher than he does at the foul line. That's correctable. You need to get a better arc on that free throw.
No, you're right. He line drives.
He lines it, and that's not concentration. It's like if you're practicing free throws, you're practicing the perfect arc for your free throw.
That's because sometimes he bends his knees and sometimes he doesn't. When he bends his knees, it looks better. Sometimes he stands almost like his legs are locked and he just does it with his upper body, and those are the ones that come out so bad. When he bends his knees, it looks a lot better.
If you've got more of an arc that he has, you got a chance to bounce it in. If you don't, that's not going in.
It's got to be perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect.
It's got to be a line drive L.
Right. Like
to go in.
Right in.
All right. 610-632-0975. Who needs Herbie McGee? You got me.
There you go.
Oh, Ben. Yo, get it up. Get it up a little. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.